While I was there, my project was an income generation project for the widows of small farmers in Tunisia. And I guess that's where my love of and interest in the issue of food, nutrition, and hunger started. Because of that project, I also was selected to go to the UN Decade for Women conference in Kenya in 1985, and I went as a Peace Corps delegate. So my interest in food really started to get sharpened there. But where I really, really got hooked was when I realized, even as I was there, that where I had the most energy and interest in what was happening is when I was with the women, usually in the kitchen, when they were telling me about their food and how they made it and why they made it that way and how certain things were good for them and certain things were not a good combination.
So you said your love for food kind of started when you were in the Peace Corps, but what inspired you to go to the Peace Corps? Was it kind of a spur-of-the-moment decision? Had you always wanted to do that, kind of always planned for that?
No, I had not always wanted to do Peace Corps specifically. It was not spur-of-the-moment, but I guess at the time, I had more than one interest. One was adventure and travel and seeing the world. And another, as strong, was helping the world. And I think journalists sometimes also have this desire to change something in the world, to affect the world in some way by your efforts. And so I was a journalist, and I had that in me. I had also grown up in this country, but I'm from North India. And so I had spent many times and summers going back to India and love it there. But I also, while there, had seen people living in a way that would be considered poor, in poverty, and living in poverty. And as a child, that was hard for me to reconcile against my life here. And so I had always been aware that there were people who just did not have the same conditions as I did. And I think I wanted to help in some way, physically with my own self, not just by sending a check somewhere. And I was young enough to think that I could do that when I was 22. and I, you know, gave it a try.
What's one image maybe from India as a child that sticks with you even still?
Well, I'm going to point out one image that I actually used in the memoir I wrote. I wrote a food memoir, and it's called Biting Through the Skin, an Indian Kitchen in America's Heartland. And what I had thought was a dream for many years actually happened. I was on a bus going to South India to see a tea plantation, and I looked out the window of the bus at a stop where people were getting out to get mango juice and various yummy things, and I saw this little boy beside the bus begging for food. There was three or four of them. He was the shortest. He kind of came up to the elbows of the other kids. And he had on rumpled, you know, fairly grungy-looking clothes. And I was eating a sandwich and a banana, and he was looking straight at me, and I was five. And I just couldn't stand it. I stood up, I rolled down the window, and I flung my banana out the window. And I just remember watching it go in the hot air, end over end, end over end, end over end, all the way down to this kid. He grabs it. And he was hungry enough and worried that somebody might get it from him, that he just bit right through the banana with the skin on it. And at five, I was horrified by that. That I guess I registered that he was hungry enough that he wanted to eat it that quickly. But I also thought about how that would feel against the back of my teeth, actually biting into banana skin. And you know how tannic that might be in the fibers and... Now I can think of it that way, but at that time I was just horrified. And so that image has stayed with me my entire life. And I really think that that boy is why I'm interested in food to this day, because it was an issue of food. And I think every decision I've made, probably major decision I've made since then, is probably because of that image.
Obviously this is an important thing that affects everyone on a global scale, but here maybe in Colombia for people at MU, do you see any similar issues in the community here?
I think it's kind of a little more hidden here because there are students who are on the SNAP program. There are students that you wouldn't expect. They're here at college. You think they're here at college. They've got money. They can feed themselves. Mm-hmm. But some people struggle with that even right here under your nose. And I think that more and more, if you just go and to find how many students are on reduced lunch program on the local schools in Columbia or surrounding communities, it will be it might surprise you how many students have to have free or reduced lunch. It would also be eye-opening, maybe, for you. Maybe you already are aware how many people are food pantries in the local towns around our food bank here in Columbia. How many more people they're feeding than they were 3 years ago. And where does that food come from? And why is it so many people are on the borderline like that, where they can't feed their families well? So we're in a culture that we have some safety nets for people, and I'm really happy for that. So I don't think you see it you don't see it like you might imagine when you see the international photos of people truly starving. But we have a nutritional problem with a lot of people who are low income. They're buying the things that they can afford that will fill people the fastest. And a lot of times those calories are empty calories. So they actually... It's an odd problem. People look heavy, but they have very poor nutrition because they're not getting vegetables, because relatively speaking, it's more expensive. They're not getting as much protein as they probably need, but boy, are they getting a lot of carbohydrates. And so that's a first world problem, I guess. but it's important. Plus, then there's as I mentioned, all the people that go to the food bank and the food pantries. It's a reality here domestically. It's not just an international problem.